As we go forth today in today's services, each and every aspect, may it be to glory and edify you, Father. Give us safe journeys as we come and go, Father Jesus. Anoint our ears and our hearts to hear your word and hide it there. And Lord, let it grow and take root, Father, because we are the army of the Lord in this time, in this day, in this hour. Let us be your fruit, Father. Let those that are around us see you, desire you, and know you, Father. Help us to be those lights. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you guys have missed out the last two nights, please go on the live feed and look at it and watch it. God has moved and brought some mighty words to this house since Friday. Today I want to talk to you about a word that God had given me last week, and it just won't escape my mind. He won't let me put it away. And Friday night I was sitting here listening to the pastor preach, and the word came up again, so I knew that was confirmation that the Lord was ready for this to come forth. And today I'm going to talk about God. And we know him as Savior, we know him as Redeemer, we know he's a healer, we know he's a friend, and we know him as God and Lord and Savior. But do you know that he is the God of recovery? Recovery. He recovers for us. And if you look at the definition of recover, it means to regain or return to normal. State of health, a normal state of mind, a normal state of strength. It is to recover something or some aspect of your life. It is to find or regain a possession of something. And a lot of us are living in times that we have recovered from many things. We have recovered from addictions. We have recovered from childhood traumas. We have recovered from the things that have happened in our past. And the enemy wants to tell you that you can't recover from that. And I'm here to tell you that is a lie from the pits of hell, because I'm going to show you in the scriptures where that is also a promise to the child of God. Now, when this came to me, last Saturday, I think it was. And I was praying for a friend of mine who had experienced a trauma. And I had got up from prayer and I went to my Bible and I was reading. And I was actually looking at the verse below this. And let me read it to you. It's Isaiah 38. We're going to read a couple scriptures out of that. And then I'll explain where it went from there. It says on verse 38 and 17, King James Version, it says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, from all that hath cast all my, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And you know, we talk about God being a lover of our soul. That's where that scripture comes from. But, I mean, if you look at the whole Bible, it's all about loving us. For he loved us so much that he sent his only son. He sent Jesus because he loved the world. He loved the world. But that is, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. Delivered it. And then God took me to verse 16. And it says, "O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live?" And then you read this verse 17. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful promise that we have. And then he gives him the answer. He says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." It means he doesn't remember them no more. So I started researching the word recover because it kept coming up. It kept sticking. It kept going on. And this whole story is about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was one of the kings of Judah. And he was a son of a king, and his father was very wicked. And wicked in the way that he led the Israelite, the people, away from God and into worshiping of other gods was one of many things that his father did. But Hezekiah was a good man. He was a man used by God to rescue Jerusalem from the Assyrians physically and bring reform and revival to Judah. So his father was this evil man that did not do what the Lord had done. And then when he became in power, he worked not only to save the people from their enemies, but to save them, their souls. And Hezekiah had been told he had a sickness come upon his body. And the prophet came to him and said, "Get your house in order, for you are going to die." That was the word of the Lord to him. And it says that he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And he prayed. Do you all want to read his prayer? Isaiah was the prophet who came to him. Verse number 2 of that same chapter, it says, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember thou, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Then came the word of the Lord to Israel, Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee." And it goes on. But I was taken back by that story because of the woman I was praying for was sick. And I thought that was an amazing thing for God to bring. And he talked about being the lover of your soul. He loves us so, so much. I have been studying in Song of Solomon. And that is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. And sometimes you wonder why it's there, because it's basically Solomon talking to one of his brides and how much he loves her. And but God started opening that whole chapter up to me about how much he loves us. How much he loves us. And it talks about the beauty of her hair, the beauty of her cheeks, the beauty of her mouth, the beauty of her neck and her back. And in all those things, God says, this is how I see you. And one day, maybe he'll let me preach that to you. But it's so beautiful to read it. It's a good thing for husband and wives to see how we are to love one another and desire one another. But do you not know that you, as the bride of Christ, are desired in that same fashion by your Savior? But let's go on. Recover. Recover is one of the things that we are promised by God. Recover. So there is healing. Healing. And we know that because there's many times it talked about in Isaiah 53 and 5, we talked about that. But by his wounds, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's Isaiah 53 and 5. That's a promise. That's a promise. It's repeated again in the New Testament. But I want to read some more of the restoring that was promised in the Old Testament, which, you know, it's all God's word. It's all God's word. Isaiah 30, if you read that, it talks about how the Israelites have caused such trouble, and they've gone away and they've turned away from God. But in verse 17, He says this wonderful thing, if you'll return to me, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seek after. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Luke 6 and 19, I love this. I was reading this, and I had read it before, but I had, you know, I don't know why it just didn't jump out at me, because it's such a wonderful thing. And this is actually Jesus healing the multitudes. Luke 6 and 19, and he had just called his 12 disciples in verse 13, and it says in verse 17, he came down and stood in the plain with the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judah and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went power or virtue out of him and healed them all. In one translation it says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. This same power walks and lives and breathes in your body today. That's healing for you and for everyone else. Recovery. Recover. You can recover. Friday night, we were listening to Pastor Small's talk, and that's when the word came up again. 1 Samuel 30 and 8. I won't read the whole story, but David and his men had come back from war. There they were. They come home expecting to meet their families, and they walk into a city that was burning on fire. The enemy had come in and burned everything, but taken their women and their children away alive. They killed no one. It was the Amalekites. And David does what we should all do when trouble hits. It's okay to cry, as our pastor told us that day. He wept. Him and his whole group of these great, mighty warriors who do great things, and they sat and cried. It's okay. It's okay to cry, because that is the way that you are humbling yourself, because there are just some things in this world that are beyond your control, and you can't fix it. You can't fix it without God. It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel helpless because, you know, we are, but not without God. With God, all things are possible, aren't they? Keep that in perspective. Don't let the enemy overtake you with that depression and despair. It's okay to cry and let that anxiety out. You know, God gave us tear ducts for that reason. But in verse 8, he went and he called the priest and he said, give me the Ephraim, which is the priestly robe. And he goes into God and he asks God. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after these troops? Shall I overtake them? He's asking him, are you going to get back my family? You know, the possessions are gone. The home is gone. Everything we own, we're gone. But my children and my loved ones, they've been taken. And God said to him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And that's what they did. They recovered all. Don't tell me my God can't make a difference in the worst situations of our life. We can recover all. Deuteronomy 1 through 20, and I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful read, as is most of the Bible. Deuteronomy 30. And I love this promise, and it says, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind amongst all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do good thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the hearts of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." And I could continue reading, but my time is short. And it says, "And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemy and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plentiful in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy father." And we love to talk about the one verse that's on down through here, and it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." That's what David did. He chose life. In your darkest situations, in your darkest days, in your darkest time, do you choose life or death? You have a recovery plan, but you get to choose. Am I going to speak life or death into this situation? He says, choose life or death, curses or blessings. Too many times we're out here talking about all the bad things, how bad it's going to be, how bad it's going to get, or how bad it could be. You're speaking death over it. You are speaking death. Speak life. Speak recovery. Speak, "This is going to work to my good. All things work to my good." Them all things are usually not good things. They're not good to begin with, are they? All things are going to work to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I want to tell you, every one of you are called according to his purpose. But then God took me to the other word, recovery. And there was one in Hosea, but I didn't want to talk about it. I don't have time to discuss it. I want to go to 2 Timothy. And all this recovery is great. It's a wonderful blessing. And it's a promise that we can hold on to, but it has purpose. Everything you do and go through and walk through and whatever you do, it's all for purpose. Now, 2 Timothy 2 is the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And he's encouraging the man of God that he's brought up like a son, a spiritual son. And he's talking about being a good soldier and a workman for God. And this whole chapter is wonderful. He tells him, he says in the beginning, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Don't be strong in yourself. Don't look at the human factor, because that's always flawed. But be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this life." You can't go to war and worry about what that battalion's doing over there. Baby, you're going to get shot. You're going to get killed. The enemy is watching you. You can't be worried about what's going on here, over there. You better be right focused. And my driving is the perfect example of that. If you don't keep focus, if you look off to the left, to the right, that's usually where that wheel goes. Come on. Beep, 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 beep. Brrr. Y'all know those sounds? Okay. I'm not alone. Stay focused. Be a good soldier. Don't get entangled with the things, affairs of this life. Oh, my gosh, you can turn the TV on and see all kinds of stuff. Oh, my Lord. You don't even have to go to the news to see that. But he says, don't get entangled. Stay the course. He goes on to tell him some great things. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We've got to be in the word. It's our weapon. It's our encouragement. That's what we do every day. We come in here and we talk about it, and we preach about it, and we teach about it. It's to encourage you to be strong and to go forward and to do the will of God. Shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. It talks about so many things, but I wanted to go down to the very last of the chapter. The last couple of verses, it said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. I thought that was interesting. They oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge, acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. From where? Out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They have no strength. Recover. We can even help recover those that the enemy is just having his way with. Isn't that wonderful? I can get recovery in my health, my strength, and things that the enemy has taken from me. But I can help someone else have that same happiness and joy and peace. I can help them come back. I can help them recover. Oh, it's wonderful. God helps us to recover so that we can help others recover. And I got to thinking about that, and so many things went through my head, and the teaching last night just reconfirmed it. God said, you're running a race. Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've run my race. This is his last letters to the people he loved. He's encouraging you to do the same thing. Paul is about to lose his life. He's living in the worst conditions in prison probably at this time. Like a hole in the ground, basically, before they execute him. And he is telling and encouraging others on the outside to keep going, keep running, keep pushing. Don't stop. But my favorite scripture is what he gave me last night. Was Revelations 12 and 11. How do others see me recover? Because a lot of times it's something on the inside that we can't always see that's going on. There's wars and battles being played in each of our minds and our lives that no one knows about but God. And he took me to Revelations 12 and 11. And, of course, this is one of my favorite scriptures to read. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Well, we all have the blood of the Lamb. That's our salvation. We are covered by his blood. And it says, and by the word of their testimony. And I looked that word up in the Greek, and it means by their witnessing, by their evidence, by their reputation, by their testimony. It's not just words that you're talking, baby. It is life that you are living. I have been blessed by God. That's why you have haters. It's the enemy, those that we are trying to help recover from the enemy through the help of Jesus Christ. But they see your life and they see all these wonderful things, and they don't have anything good to say about you. It don't matter how much you love them, how much you bless them. Honey, you can just walk in with a smile on your face Monday morning and they're like, well, what is her problem? Did you see what she's wearing? Oh, they'll find something. They will. But that's to be expected. They're not the children of God. Or maybe some of them are, and they still need a little help, but we're here to recover them. It's by my testimony, by my reputation, walking and living in integrity. And we talked about that about Daniel on Wednesday night. It's by my witnessing, by my actual words. It's by the evidence, the fruit that you see in my life. I'm not up here just teaching to you on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. I'm sitting in a bar somewhere. No. The evidence of my life. I don't talk the same. I don't walk the same. I sat back there and thought about all the ways that God had pursued me. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. 16 years old, I was supposed to die in a car accident because of a praying father. And the revelation from God, he saved me from that car accident. If you don't know my story, I'm happy to tell you about it. Don't have time to do it now. That's just one of many things. Many times I've laid in my bed or soaking in the tub trying to get rid of the filth off of my body from things that I have said and done. And I say, oh, I promise I'm not doing it again. And he pursued me anyways. The Pentecostal girl that grew up knowing God her whole life, who ran from God, who wouldn't be caught dead in church after she left home, running from God for years. And it kept me in so many things. He kept me from so many things. He kept my children. He blessed me with a wonderful husband who loves me to stop myself sometimes. God help me. He pursues you in so many ways. If you could sit down one day and just think about things that God has done, that is God pursuing you. That is the bridegroom pursuing the bride, trying to make life better for her, when she don't even have the sense to see it. Testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. That's what Jesus called denying self, picking up your cross. Follow me. He was the example. Not that we didn't have many in the scriptures. But he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's who we pattern ourselves after, his word, his life on earth. Recovery. Recover. You can recover. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what addiction you have, what insincrety, what if you have anger management issues. I don't care what they've labeled it here, depression, despair. Nothing God can't recover you from. I'm standing here as living proof. I did everything that I could to get away from God. Everything I could to alienate myself from him and from everything that he blessed me with. But he recovered me. It was some of my choice. I had to make the decision to allow him to do those things. And to walk through the paths that he showed me. But God, I've been so blessed. My life has been so blessed because I chose to do what he wanted me to do. I chose to allow him to rescue me. My testimony of recovery is how the enemy is defeated. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for everything that you've given us. All your words, your wisdom and understanding, Father. The power and the strength to make the right decisions and to carry them out through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we have the promise of not only of repair, restoration, but we can recover. We can recover no matter what the enemy has put before us. No matter what storm we're in. No matter what lion's den we're standing in. Father, no matter where we are, we have the promise of recovery. You will recover us. Thank you that you love me so much. That you love us all so much. That you pursue us with your love. You are constantly pursuing us. Thank you, Father. Open our eyes. Let us see those times. Let us know your love around us. Even when we're too busy to pay attention, Father, let us know that is you pursuing us. God, have your way the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.